Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster, and I am the host of the Voices of Courage show, bringing you the most talented, gifted, and wise people on the planet to help you uplift your life, uplift your circumstances, and be able to step into a life that is uncommon to most. I want to ask you a question. How do you feel about your conscious and subconscious mind? Now, that's kind of a weird question, isn't it? How do you feel about that? Well, the reason I ask that is, are you getting the results that you really want? Or are you kind of stuck in Nowhereville? Whatever that is for you, right? Well, you don't have to be, because, you know, we have the science, we have the technology, we have the understanding from psychology, neuropsychology, from quantum physics, and from a whole bunch of disciplines, sociology, on how the human spirit works and how we tick. And today, you know, there are people right now that you are living in fear. Do you even know it? Maybe you don't. That's okay. I lived in fear a long time before I really knew it. But I looked at my results, and intuitively I knew I wasn't getting the results that I wanted. And I bet you're not either. Well, listen, I'm going to introduce you to a guest today that by the end of the show, honestly, you will have no excuses for anything that is holding you back because of the difficulties this man has gone through. He's been a model to many, many people now to help people to realize the mind is the cause of your bondage and you can overcome anything with the using your mind and brain in the right way. You can overcome addictions. You can overcome poor habits, poor choices, chronic issues with money or chronic issues with relationships, just about anything. That's what we're talking about today. So I hope you'll continue to join me when I come back. By the way, let a few of your friends know about this today. That would be great. So when I come back, I'll introduce my new guest. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. We're talking about the courage to awaken your wonderful mind. And I have as my guest, Rafael Kalex. Rafael is a man that knows better than anybody the power of the mind to get himself in trouble or get ourselves in trouble or get ourselves out of trouble. Rafael, for those of you that don't know him, he grew up in a pretty difficult situation with, five children and a father that was an alcoholic. And basically he was institutionalized as kind of a scapegoat. And, he spent over 35 years in some of the major federal prisons, Folsom and, San Quentin. But because of his fortitude, because of his strength and his understanding and willing to make changes, Rafael started reading hundreds of books. He started realizing how the power of the mind works, and he changed from a living hell to a living paradise. Well, maybe not always, but most of the time. Rafael, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you, and I know your story is one that I want to hear our guest. I know we'll also want to hear. Welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you. And I want to, you know, when I read about what you've been through, I was inspired. I was inspired. I thought to myself, I need to have Raphael on the show because I think others will be inspired as the at the power that you mustered up to really overcome some really major challenges in your world, and you know, and stay true to yourself as you did it. So, you know, where do we start? I mean, like, I guess maybe we just jump right in. And you know, what was the core cause, do you think, of being institutionalized? I mean, not from the crime you committed or didn't commit, but from the place of what was going on? Like, why were you in that situation where you ended up being arrested?
Well, you know, it always starts with the inner child. And for me, that's where the heart of the problem in my life began. And the inner child was in a state of fear, panic, pain, witnessing what my father and my mother were going through trying to raise five of us. And we were like stair steps, one after the other, we came into this world. My mother and father was not in best way prepared financially, and maybe in many other ways, which I'm not sure that I can be a judge of that. But I would say that that's where the pain and suffering started, and that's where the reactive mind, to protect me, to protect the family, I became very angry and bitter at life. And that bitterness, that anger, I also personalized, where I felt that I was the cause, that I was the one who was the author of this bad feeling and this pain and this suffering. I was blaming myself for it. And so I became very ashamed, and I became very bitter. And that bitter this turned to anger. It turned to revenge on myself and revenge on my parents. So I started acting out. I became someone who was incorrigible, disobedient, hurtful to myself, and hurtful to others. And that experience created a backlash in my mind, and I was guilt-ridden. I didn't think of myself in a positive way. I felt like I was a living hell. I felt that nothing good can come from me.
Yeah.
And this was the end of my life of innocence. And I now realize that I needed more help than I could give myself.
I think that's a key component, of course, is awareness. You know, I know there's some parents watching the show today, or there's some young people watching the show today, and they're thinking, wow, that'll never happen to me. You know, I'm not like that. This isn't going to happen to my kid. Well, maybe some parents know different than that. What are, like you said, you know, there's some warning signs, I guess, that we could look out for if we're going down this path, or we have a loved one that's going down this path, or, you know, a family member. What are some of the signs that, you know, looking in hindsight, you would have said, oh, wish my parents had recognized this?
Yes, there are definite signs along the way that that a parent can definitely identify that something is amiss. What's going on in the mind and what's going on in the life of my child? And he's acting out, and there's no reason for him to acting out. He's disobeying what we're asking him to do. Why is he acting that way? He's not enrolled in school. He's playing hooky from school. What's going on with him? Why he doesn't want to normalize his behavior by going to school and getting good grades and graduating to higher levels of education? And not only that, I became very criminal in my thinking. In other words, I started stealing. And every time that I would get caught and the police would call my mother, that's a caution sign. That's a red light. Something's going on in the life and the mind of my child, and I need to address it.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to jump right in. I'm going to fast forward this a little bit, because a lot of times what we're talking about as a youth and some of the signs that we just talked about, you can recognize it. If it's not handled, if it's not recognized, you can end up in, your child may end up, or you may end up in, with addiction, or you may end up with incarceration, or even worse, you may leave the planet. You may die. This is not something to mess with, this kind of thinking that's going on that Raphael's describing right now. We'll be right back. And when you come back, we're going to jump into the dilemma of addiction. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I have a very special guest today. His name is Raphael. I never get it right, Raphael. Raphael Kalix. And we're talking about now, we're going to jump into the story of addiction and, you know, what the dilemmas there are and the pitfalls. Raphael, I know that you've become an expert in this over the years, so let's dive right into that.
Yes, addiction is a very cunning and baffling experience for the brain. And the mind in a quest or trying to protect will develop certain reactive actions to protect from the feeling of pain and suffering, from the covering up of the shame and the guilt. And so drugs are always readily available for that. They sell it over the counter, they prescribe it, and when you're a child, you can't get it prescribed, you have to go find a way to buy it. And so I became an addict that way. I started using marijuana, alcohol, and then I graduated to hard drugs. They call it speed. It's popular today called methamphetamine. Then cocaine, heroin, psychodrugs for those that are psychedelic. All of these drugs became available, and to numb myself out from the harsh feelings that I had inside, I started using drugs in every way, every day. I became addicted. It wasn't long before I became an addict. Addiction, it takes maybe a very short time, but when it gets you, it's gonna hold you in a death grip. You're not gonna be able to free yourself as easily as you got into it. And it is an experience called the hijacking of the brain. When drugs become a daily use, the brain no longer functions normally the way it would without the drugs. And so the assault of these chemicals that are triggered and fired from the drug use take over the brain and the mind, and the actions of that of my life was to want to secure more drugs because I didn't want to come down from the high. If I came down from the high, I would have to deal with the reality of how I did not want to feel.
Got it. Well, I will say this, that there are a lot of people that are addicted, and they don't have the daily use. They pretend like they're not addicted because they only use once a week or once every couple of days or even once a month. That doesn't necessarily mean you are free from it. And I would say this, that I know a little bit about addiction myself. If you're challenged with an addiction, whether it's to vaping or to smoking or to alcohol or to drugs or to just about anything, here's how you know. Just go 30 days without thinking, not alone acting, not thinking about having that next whatever. 30 days without thinking about it. If you can't go 30 days without thinking about it, most likely it's got you. And, you know, if you're early on in the process, you might be able to get some real quick help to move you past it. But I'm going to say this, that most of the time there's something deeper as to why this is going on. And really it has to do with the emotional piece that Raphael and I are going to talk about right now. How do we get emotional emancipation so that we are not going down this self-medicating or fitting in with the crowd or, you know, that type of thing, Raphael?
Yes, emotional emancipation in this regard is trying to bring awareness to the feelings. The emotions are feelings that are being sent out throughout the body to warn you, to have you be aware of a feeling that is very bad, that's uncomfortable. And so emotional emancipation brings you to a level of awareness where you can see and feel what you're feeling and be able to identify it. The moment that that feeling arises, you say, well, why am I feeling this way? What am I thinking about when I'm feeling this way? And where is that feeling coming out in my body? Is it in my chest? Is it in my breathing? Do I feel a tightness in my chest? Do I feel a stiffness in my body? Am I balling up my fists? You know, so these are some of the things that bring one to a level of mindful awareness where you can understand why you're feeling this anxiety or this stress or this anger, and then be able to say, okay, I see you anger, I see you shame, but I'm not going to allow you to dictate how I act. But that comes with practice. It's not something that you automatically have. And what I was able to do is I was able to go into a practice of meditation. And meditation allowed me a space in my mind where I was not reacting to these feelings. I was not being angry out of control. I became more aware of the lack of control when I was angry. And also, what's important in the meditation, I was able to put words that were providing a space away from the feeling, where I became the observer of the feelings and not reacting to those feelings. So now I had an opportunity to look at the feeling and not bring a judgment to the feeling. For example, if I'm angry and if I do something harmful, then I'm the bad person. And so instead of having this judgment of being a bad person, I bring maybe a little more empathy and compassion to myself for those having those feelings. And then with that, I was able to progressively grow in the awareness and the mindfulness, and to bring some principles of forgiveness and healing into the process. That gave me a big lift out of that funk, that hole, that subconscious hole, where I didn't have no way of understanding why I felt so bad about myself and why was I doing all these things that was hurtful to myself and to others. I want to say this, that before I go on, I want to say how sorry I am for all of the hurt and the pain and suffering that I caused, not only to myself, but especially to the innocent victims of crime, and to my family, and to my community. I'm truly sorry, and I beg forgiveness.
Well, I thank you for that. And that, along this path, you just modeled humility. And humility is the ability to see reality clearly. And you can see, reality clearly. I've clearly hurt some people, and I'm asking for their forgiveness. Now, of course, we can't change the past, but we can sure step into a brighter future and use our life as a life of to model as we learn these principles. And that's really what this show is about. This show is about, it's not about your past mistakes. Is there anybody in my audience that has not made serious mistakes along the way? I mean, if you haven't, write me, because I want to know you. I want to hang with you and find out how that works. But for the rest of us, humility is clear. We are working on great challenges, and whether it be addictions. And by the way, we have a country that 56% of the people right now are obese, 56%. And that's 50 pounds or over their ideal weight as determined by the American Medical Association. So this is something we're not making up. This is happening in the country. So if this discussion is very relevant to today's world, we have, I think, a survey that said 20% of the children in high school right now have tried vaping, and 38% have tried vaping or cigarettes. So, Raphael, how do we break that cycle of addiction? I guess that's what I want to ask you.
That's a very big question, and it's a very good question, because I would venture to say that the majority of Americans are addicted in some form, in some way. Addiction is not only with drugs. Addiction is when the mind wants to protect itself and it's running away from a feeling that is not comfortable, a feeling that's very painful. And so addiction can come in the form of food. It could come in the form of drugs. It could come in the form of sex. It could come in the form of gambling. It could come in the form of drinking alcohol. It could come in the form of lashing out at others, so that feeling that I'm feeling gets put aside because I'm doing some harm to someone else. And so I'm transferring my bad feelings and trying to give it to someone else. Now, isn't that insane? But that's the reality of how we try to protect ourselves from these ill feelings.
Yeah, I totally get that. And the first step that we're talking about here, and possibly changing this around for you, I'm speaking to my audience here, is getting out of being a victim. And why do I say that? Well, a lot of you are going, I'm not a victim. Well, let's hear me out here. If things are happening to you from the outside, circumstances are happening to you, then you truly don't have any ability to change that. It just happens, and that's the way it is. But if you were to take 100% responsibility for your life, that gives you power back. Now you can look at it from a place of, okay, I just crashed my car. Okay, what is going on inside of me that maybe I don't want to feel? I don't want to feel the pain, but if I don't feel the pain, I'm not going to make the change. So if what is going on inside that I can start to look at and maybe get some support around that particular issue, that this is how this works, okay? So personal responsibility is where we have to start. Now, am I saying that you can control the weather? No, but you could definitely control your attitude towards the weather. I can't tell you how many times we get a little storm in San Diego and all over the news, it's we've got these storms hitting and, you know, everybody's worried. And then when we don't have rain, there's the drop. Maybe you shut that source of information off so that you can hear yourself, like Raphael said. I love what you said, you know, going into meditation, stilling the mind and going in that place. All right, that's my thought on that. But Raphael, I got to take a quick break in a minute, but I do want to ask you this. Meditation in my own life. I've been meditating now for a few decades, and it's not really a substitution for some of the addictions I used to have. It's something greater than that. How would you decide the greater piece of that for those that are listening? Because I can hear the minds of audience going, oh, you just substituted meditation for drugs and alcohol. What's that about? What do you get when you meditate? What happens there?
Well, you know, let me give a good example of how meditation works to protect, to heal, and to restore the mind and the body from that which is causing harm. And so if I go under a waterfall, and that waterfall is coming down very powerful around me because I'm now under the waterfall. And so anything that would fall on me, the water is taking it away from me. And so the same happens with meditation. We are in constant bombardment of conditions that are harsh, that are negative, that are dark, and that are hurtful. And so how do we bring the mind safely from that which is causing hurt, which is causing pain? Well, we quiet the mind, and we allow a time and a space to be the observer of these conditions that are causing the pain. And then we say to ourselves, we love you, and we want to help you. We want to say to ourselves that there is an opportunity now to heal from this. And I give myself love and compassion. I try to give understanding to the conditions. And I don't judge it. And I don't judge myself to say that I am a bad person because of what I'm experiencing. So meditation is a way to receive a healing, to receive an understanding in what's happening, to be able to say, pause the button of judgment, pause the button of shame and self-condemnation, and allow a moment of compassion, of love to enter in, and it brings healing. You know, if I need to say I forgive myself, meditation helps me to forgive myself because I'm quieting the mind.
That's powerful, Raphael. All right. You and I, when we first got together, we talked a little bit about the devaluation that takes place for individuals in our prison systems and how it's really not it's a punitive system instead of a restorative system. And I would be remiss if we didn't put some of your wisdom into the airwaves about how, what's going on and maybe some of the solutions. So we're going to visit that place right when we come back.
The station that makes you feel good. station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is the Voices of Courage show. The name of our show today is The Courage to Awaken Your Wondrous Mind. Wow, that's a great title. I'm wondering how we awaken our wondrous mind in the prison system as it exists today. Raphael, can you give us a little insights on what's kind of going on in the system and maybe some of the solutions that you've been aware of that might be able to help change this around?
Well, the prison system early on was an opportunity for capitalism to have its way. The convict cell leasing system began in prison. And so now if you want to have free labor, lock them up, put them in prison, and the longer you have them there, the longer you'll be able to exploit them and benefit from their labor. So the prison system is not set up to help the offender, and it really rarely ever looked at the victim and tried to restore them. And if there was an opportunity for that, then it would begin when that person is harmed. You know, focus the attention on helping the victim. Focus the attention on how to bring healing and transformation into the offender's life so that when he gets out, and the majority of men and women who go into jails and prisons get out, so that when they get out, when they come out, they're whole. They're not disheveled, they're not broken, they're not more bitter and angry with themselves and angry with society, but now they're experiencing something that's holistic, that's healing, that's therapeutic. And when they come out, instead of being another liability of a returning citizen back to jail, when he becomes a returning citizen as an asset to the community, to his family, and bringing a healing effect over everyone in their lives, working productively and bringing love and harmony, not only with the family, but with the community as well.
Well, I believe there's systems right now that I was up in Sacramento, actually. I was talking with, I was in Idaho at this time. I was talking with the Department of Corrections head at the time. His name was Josh, and I'm not remember his last name, but I was talking to Josh, and I said, you know, what are you doing up here to change the prison system? He was a conscious guy. He knew what was going on. He said, well, first thing I did is I went to Germany, and I studied their system, and they have a system that is not punitive. They have a system where when people come into the system, they are immediately given a social worker that follows them through the entire system until they're released. And the whole point is to restore them. It's not to keep them in a punitive situation. Even though our founding fathers of the prison system really set the standard for basically slave labor, we don't need to continue that. We need to step into some new ways of doing this. So that's what he said. I'd like to get your comment on some of the ways that maybe this system can be, restored. I mean, is it you going into prisons and helping the prisoners? Is it, making more books and tapes available to them? But, how do we wake up the prisoners so that they don't want to be a victim of the system anymore?
Thank you for that question. The oldest prison in California is San Quentin, and it has become the leader. It's at the vanguard of rehabilitation, and thankfully so, education is leading the way for those who are in San Quentin to be transformed, to be rehabilitated, and to really get into who they really are. Not what they've done, but who they are. And so what they've done is not who they are. The worst thing that I've committed in my life is not who I am. And so the opportunities for education, therapy, college, high school diploma, all of those things, self-help groups, 12 steps, Narcotics Anonymous, restorative justice as a model to our restoration, restoring the mind and the body and connecting the spirit and the soul to the body. These things are going on in San Quentin like it's never been before. And the men that are coming out are not recidivating. As a matter of fact, they don't even figure on the scale of one for those who are worrying about recidivism. A lifer especially who has been in a long time and has gone through these programs, California Reentry, Guiding Rage into Power, that's GRIP. All of these programs, restorative justice, transformative justice, these programs are bringing to life the ability of the human mind, the human experience, to become someone greater than they've imagined themselves to be.
Well, you know, when we stop treating each other like objects, when we start having compassion for ourselves, we start having compassion for others. And when we realize that we are not separate from each other, you know, what's happening in prisons is impacting our streets and probably your family at some level and has been for a while. But if you would like to see that change, then what we do is we start to create systems of rehabilitation, and we realize that when I rehabilitate you, you also keep me safe. You know, there's a very much a symbiotic relationship between all of us, and it used to be, you know, the cops versus the robbers, or the society versus the prisoners, or that kind of thinking is cuckoo. We're all in this together. All right, so we just got a few minutes left, and what I want to do is I want our audience to be able to know how to connect with you and also maybe some of the programs that you're supporting right now.
Yes, I'm currently waiting to go into Pine Grove, which is the last of the juvenile detention facilities that California will run. They've closed down the Department of Juvenile Justice when it comes to lockup units. The Youth Authority, all that is history. Pine Grove now has juveniles that are in a camp program. And so the Amity Foundation has given me the green light to go in and bring restorative justice conferences, restorative justice practices, and that means accountability and responsibility. But it also means bringing the victims a semblance of healing. And what I've found is in victims, survivors of crime, is they become the vessel. They become the spark that lights up the life of the offender and allows him to see the error of his ways, and not only the error of his ways, but the better part of who he is, who she is. So Amity Foundation is doing good work in regards to helping bring those who are in out in such a way that they don't return, they don't relapse, and they don't reoffend. But there's also the anti-recidivism.
Let me pause you for a second. How do we spell Amity Foundation?
A-M-I-T-Y. Amity.
Is it amityfoundation.org, or do you know?
Yes, .org, yes.
Okay. Right. Okay, go ahead.
And there is also anti-recidivism full coalition. And they've been working with men and women inside, bringing them out, and when they come out, providing them with a warm embrace for housing, for education, for ongoing therapy, whatever it is, wherever they're at, providing them with what they need. And Anti-Recidivism Coalition was founded by Scott Budnick, a silver screen producer of movies, and he has been the one who brought us into a place where we've been humanized and not demonized. And so that's been a good program, not only in California, but it's partnering up with a lot of organizations across the country.
That's brilliant. And all right, I got some final thoughts here, and we've got about 4 minutes or so. Let's just wrap this all up. All right. So what is kind of your message to those people that are borderline or, into addictions, and maybe even your message for the prison system? All right. Go ahead. Floor is yours.
Yes. Addiction is a very big deal in our lives. And drug addiction is symbolical of something deeper that's taking place within the mind and the heart, in the lives of those individuals. And for me, the opportunity to separate myself from the addiction and allow a space for healing came through the 12-step program of Narcotics Anonymous. And that's where I was able to see that the therapeutic value of one addict helping another was very valuable. But the opportunity is also for the individual to accept himself, accept herself to be imperfect, and allow for a moment of healing by forgiving oneself. You know, and part of the steps include making amends. If I'm turning away from that which has been hurtful and unmanageable, then I must turn towards something that's going to be the opposite of that, which is something that's restorative, that brings healing and brings compassion into life. And so these are the things that I was able to do. And I'm sure that anyone, if I could do it, anyone can do it. I was an addict most of my life. I spent most of my life behind prison bars. And then I was able to one day say, I don't need to live this way. I don't have to live this way. There's a better way of living. And I started inside being very supportive and compassionate to myself and to others. And that has given me a jump start. It has given me energy. It's a spark of life where I'm no longer destroying and tearing down. I'm building up. I'm co-creating. That's what our lives is really made for, not to tear down, but to build up.
Well said, Raphael. I just so enjoyed having this conversation with you today, and I pray that this work really gets in the world in greater and greater ways, and I hope we've done our job today to do that. So thank you for being a guest on the Voices of Courage show. Thank you, sir. All righty, so that was an amazing show. Now, I want to speak to you, my audience. There are a few people out there that I know could really benefit from this show. So it's your job is to just send them the link. You can go on LinkedIn. You can go on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter. We're on all those platforms. You can go to our site, voicesofcourage.us, and you can share the links on about this show. So I hope you'll do that. And from my heart to yours, I hope you continue to look for and see the unseeable, and know the unknowable, and do the impossible. You can do it.